Welcome to Travel Talk Today with your host and founder, fast start to slow travel expert, Sharon Ann Hamilton.
Welcome to the podcast Travel Talk Today, where we meet with people who want to travel and those who serve them. Today, my very special guest is Annie Din Han. She is a world traveler and has a lot of information and education to teach us and talk to us about how to dress so you fit in with the crowd, so you don't stand out and look slovenly. That's absolutely not okay as a traveler. She's going to show us how, and Annie is going to be helping me pack for a convention I'm going to next week in Atlanta, Georgia. How do you pack for a week away with just a carry-on and a backpack? Not so hard, but you have to be careful, because otherwise you're getting clothes that don't match, that don't work for business, or that do not make a statement about who you are. Packing is an art form. It's not all just science. You can measure things and make sure it fits into your suitcase, but it's an art form, putting things together and making them look good. So how do you travel to Europe and you get off the plane and you look like a European, not like someone who's come from the more casually dressed country-like parts of America? Nope. Cargo shorts and yoga pants are out. Annie will tell you why. Annie of the Ageless Stylist Consulting Skills, who shares with us about how to dress when you travel so you fit in with the culture you're going to, so that you don't stand out in the crowd as something to be mocked.
I love that, Sharon. Where you stand out as a beacon of light that other people want to connect with.
Oh, nice. Okay. So your clothing invites people to have conversation.
Yeah, it can go either way, really and truly. Can I give you a perfect travel example?
Yes.
Okay. When I was married, my former husband, we traveled to Toledo, Spain, and my kids were teenagers at the time. I can't really dial in Sarah style. It was a teenage style, but everywhere we went, Spaniards looked at us with disdain. And when I look back at that time, I think it was predominantly my son Josh that was the object of their disdain, because what was cool in North America was utterly offensive in Europe. And so he had donned this style where, you know, he had the baggy pants, his underwear was showing, like the boxers.
Okay.
And he had this, and today's deeply not happy with that style. And the Spaniards gave him a great shift. So he had an oversized hoodie, and then he had the toque thing. Like, it was the whole, what's that look? Eminem type of gangster type of look, you know?
Yeah.
So on any given day, we'd get at least 2 to 3 just utter and complete looks of disgust from Spaniards. And they would be very demonstrative. So complete from the top all the way to the bottom. And then also looking at me as the mom is, how could you? How could you let your son step out in this way? And so from that day forward, you know, as we look back through the years, my son and my daughter and I see that as a big turning point, because Josh never looked like that again.
Okay.
So what's curious is that this North American look that started with, you know, gangsters, etc., has kind of spread all over the world. And we all think it's kind of cool. It's modified slightly closer to the body, not revealing the boxer shorts anymore. But, you know, it's still a basic casual uniform that everybody seems to wear. So like everywhere in the world. And I find that very fascinating because we used to dress culturally in many different expressive ways. And one example of that is, even if you were to look at your own cultural background, Sharon Ann, would remind me, you look like you have a bit of Italian.
I really haven't checked. I've heard Dutch. You should identify with that, Annie. Dutch, French, and Northern European, not Scandinavia, because I have dark hair, but yeah.
Okay, let's say if you were to Google cultural dress France and just bring up a search and look for images, you'll see the most expressive, exuberant, like they pile on all kinds of stuff, jewelry, scarves, color, doesn't matter. But I'm making this point because when you look back at how different cultures dressed, especially in Europe, it was very expressive. And now today, it's just mind-blowing to think that no matter where you go, you could find this, you know, grunge look, the Kurt Cobain look, and his girlfriend, her name escapes me, something Love. I can't remember now. Anyways.
We were talking earlier and you helped me pack for a business trip. And you said this packing can, same outfits can go, even if I went abroad and did some house sitting, or even if I stayed home, I could get rid of everything in my closet and keep those pieces that we chose from my closet.
Yeah.
I get really bored. But anyway, recently, one of my friends went to Europe on a river cruise, and there were big letters in their instructions. Yoga pants are not allowed.
They actually said that?
They actually said that. I mean, we have a tendency, I should say, I'm one of them, to want to be comfortable in yoga pants, comfortable compared with, you know, jeans or slacks.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And do you know, if you wanted to dive down this rabbit hole, you know, for your listeners that are also thinking about their trip to Europe or planning a trip to Europe, there are YouTube videos on, you know, where there's just like this guy, or maybe it's a woman, just video recording people on the streets. Like, what are they wearing in Milan, for instance? What are they wearing in Paris? You just get to see like a bird's eye, or not really, a street level view of what people are wearing. And I have to say, it is quite different than what we're wearing in, you know, in North America. You're from the U.S., I'm from Canada, but it is quite a bit of a step up.
If I don't want to stand out like a foreigner when I go to France or Italy or Spain or Prague or Czechoslovakia, or whatever, Slovenia, or Greece, like 20 years ago, I want to say every woman was wearing black head to toe.
Yep.
Well, that's not true anymore.
No.
Thank God. Like, no, I don't like that at all. So what do you wear nowadays? This is 2024. What do you wear to not stand out like a foreigner?
Okay, good question. Now we're into fall. So do you want me to take it in a fall way and a summer way? How would you like me to?
Fall to winter.
Okay, fall to winter. So I've been following trends, not because I follow trends, you know, like not like I'm a slave to trends, but fall to winter, if you were to go to Europe, what they would be doing is like a quiet luxury type of style. They're like, all the runways are doing this quiet luxury. That is the biggest trend for 2024, moving into 2025. And what that means is quiet luxury is a way of dressing where you're wearing a quality of clothes that the eye can literally feel the quality.
Okay.
So these are fibers that are instantly recognizable, even from a distance, even on Zoom, as 100% cotton, cashmere, linen, silk, wool, leather, suede, natural fibers. Yeah. Yeah. And quality, it can't be, you know, like a cheap, crappy, because trust me, I've seen what's in the stores lately. There's a cashmere store in Victoria. And what's in the window display? It's all cashmere in the price point of $400 to $800. What's in the window? It looks like it's sweatshirt material. Yeah. I can't even... Even from close, I can't even identify it as cashmere. Mm-hmm. So I make that distinction to, you know, help your audience to be able to understand that there is a difference. You can buy cashmere, you can buy all these natural fibers. You have to be able to see that it's quality. If it looks like a rag, it's not worth getting.
Yeah. So one of the things I see around in my community, which is Pacific Northwest, is I see women a bit overweight, let's just say. Who am I to talk? But anyway, and they're wearing linen top to bottom, so very large linen pants and very almost a pear-shaped top. I think, to me, it seems like it's an effort to look like you're talking about the quiet luxury, but
yeah,
it's been my opinion.
And I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm curious to know why you think it fails.
I think people are doing it to hide their extra poundage.
Yeah. Yeah. Which actually is a big mistake, but I'll get back to it in a moment. First, I want to address the fact that fit, second most important thing to look for in terms of what to pack, what to wear when you're traveling to Europe. So you want to dress in high quality fabrics that you can literally feel with your eyes that it's high quality. And sometimes even synthetic will fit bill. And then second of all, you want it to fit the body. You don't want to look like you're ballooning around in a tent.
Like you're hiding.
Yeah. Which we all have, right? We all walk out of the change rooms asking ourselves these ridiculous questions. My butt looked too big. Just, you know, do you see the tummy that I have now that I've eaten three brownies and a piece of carrot cake? I laugh because our bellies do kind of bulge once we, once we indulge and we can't hide it. But why that's so counterproductive is that you're literally dressing from a place of insecurity.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Say more about that.
So when you're dressing from that place of insecurity, you're dressing to hide. And the fact that you have beautiful features that need to be brought out. So for you, Sharon, when I look at you, you have beautiful shoulders. You have a beautiful bust line. Not trying to be inappropriate here.
Yes.
You've got a great stature. When you dress in the right clothing, you can look like a tall drink of water. It's just stunning to behold you. And you get a lot of comments and a lot of looks because we are friends, so we have spent time together. And I have noticed that even younger men will go, ooh, you know, when they walk past you.
Oh, wow. Now I'm blushing.
Right? You don't want to make that mistake. You don't want to go, okay, if you want to do an honest confess, I'll start with me if you want to. What would you say is your worst feature or the one that you tend to try and hide? And if you don't want to answer, that's okay. I'll answer.
Long silence. I have quite long feet, which you can't do anything about. So I can't wear really cute shoes, for example. I have to go for because I've seen when I wear cute shoes, it wrecks my feet and I don't want that. So I say, that's the thing I don't like.
It's the last thing I notice about you. I never even noticed that about you.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
I've been hiding it well. But back to hiding before you go on, Annie, I'm thinking that when people try to hide their body because with clothing, first of all, it the opposite impact is
right.
No, we're hiding.
Yeah. And when you try to hide, guess where the eye goes?
Yes.
It goes immediately to, ooh, wonder what she's got hiding underneath there, you know?
So something I heard today, which is really insightful, I think, is that we are all individually and uniquely made, and we are not made to be on a runway and looking like a skeleton walking.
Exactly.
And it's okay if we're different from everybody else, because we are different from everybody else.
Right, right. Every one of us is beautiful. And I say that with 100% complete sentiment, or I can't find the right word for that right now, integrity. And so many women get this notion in their head, and it's from years and years of programming around, you know, you get to a certain age and everything goes downhill. So women start to give up at different intervals. And some women give up in their 30s, some in their 40s, 50s, yeah. Some a bit later. I have to say that there have been times where I've looked at myself and my whole body and thought, oh man, it's gone. I have to give up now. I have to just kind of, you know, resign myself to the fact that, okay, I'm never going to enjoy some kind of youthful and full vibrancy anymore. But do you know what?
Tell me.
It doesn't matter what you go through. And I have gone through some very dark, deep trials. It doesn't matter what you go through. Health challenges, financial challenges, marriage challenges, doesn't matter. You can bounce back. And there's beauty inside all of us. It's from a gift from God. God created us, and our bodies are temples of the Most High God. And we're like gardens that just need watering and nurturing. And it just takes a little bit. And you can nurture that garden back and enjoy that vibrancy, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what kind of tragedy you've gone through.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. When we travel, do we leave those things behind, or do we take them with us?
Our God-given beauty?
Yes.
I love that question. I would say it's the best thing you could take with you.
Okay.
And you know, there's this beautiful verse in Proverbs. Sometimes I lose my memory, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because some of the dark things I've had to go through a while back. But there's that verse, she clothes herself, or she's clothed in dignity and strength. And she laughs at the, because her future is bright.
Yeah.
So
Proverbs 31.
Yes. Thank you. I was a bit of self-doubt around that. So why I love that so much is that is the best way you can clothe yourself, is in dignity and strength. Whether you have a faith or not, you know, because I can fully comprehend that there's people in your audience that don't have a faith in God. And I highly encourage you to, you know, to investigate, like look into that question. So if you do or if you don't, I don't have any judgment. But what I am saying is dress that dignified, respectful woman who holds herself in high esteem, and dress from that place, because you will be treated with as a woman who is elegant, respectful, high value, who is deserving of, you know, men opening up doors or saying, you know, well, you know, bonjour, madame, you know, have a seat over here. Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
People will treat you with a high level of respect. And when you combine that with the way that you present yourself outwardly with the clothes that you wear, it's like you can't go wrong. But there's a difference between trying to hold that high level of respect and then putting on the hoodie and the leggings and the trainers and a toque or a ball cap. And there's a disconnect, right?
Yep.
You feel that?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's the same with, the same as opposite, is if you were to not have that character where, you know, you're a bit crass and slouchy and you're wearing nice clothes, it all has to go together. And when it goes together, it sings.
Nice. This is a Travel Talk podcast, and we've been talking about clothing for women as we pack it up and go somewhere exotic or Europe or anywhere else, actually, even around the country. But yeah. I want to know, where have you traveled? Where's your favorite place to travel?
Mine?
Yes.
Okay. I would say Italy. Italy and Ireland, those are close to for me.
And what did you love about those two?
I loved the aesthetic of how people dressed and how they held themselves with that high level of respect. And they did the evening promenade, and you could go and sit at an outdoor cafe and just people watch till the sunset, you know? It was a beautiful thing to watch. All these families, you know, mothers and fathers and their little kids and everybody gathering in the square. I mean,
they weren't home watching TV for work.
Yeah, I really appreciate that in Italy. And there, in some European countries and cities have the same thing. But yeah, I really, truly miss that because we don't have that in North America. This is where we gather in a square and, you know.
So I think that's also true. They have that lifestyle in Mexico, which is a slower lifestyle. In the Caribbean, they have many slower, you know, ways you can go walk by the water. And I know in Greece, it's a big thing. The families, couples go in the evening and sit down by the water and look at the water, look at the beach, look at the people. Leisurely kind of event. What, in your opinion, and I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
Biggest challenge that men have with dressing here in their daily lives, but also packing for travel?
Well, and I wouldn't say men in general, so I don't want to make a sweeping generalization, but men typically can, North American men typically can not appreciate what a European aesthetic is and how important it is to the European culture, people that live there. They can, this mentality that, I'll just wear, you know, the Velcro, the tie up with Velcro and, you know, white socks and cargo bin, a ball cap, like they'll totally miss it. But as I've traveled in Europe, where people, the native, you know, people that live in that city will be behind groups of predominantly American tourists, they'll literally be left, or they'll be disgusted, or, you know, like it really sets a bad impression.
So what do men get when they learn how to travel, dress right?
When men learn how to dress right, they have a big shift, for one thing. It just elevates their self-confidence. They can literally see a different picture in the mirror. And then they think, wow, you know, like, I don't know why I missed this, but I'm actually a handsome dude. Maybe I could get that girl, you know, or maybe I could land that job or get that promotion or, yeah.
So I know you consult with women. Their closets and using Zoom. Can you work with men too?
Oh yeah, I have worked with men before. And men I find are just so easy. I've done workshops with men. What's interesting is men are there just furiously taking notes, one page after another. It's so funny to see. Because women are there and they think no, because we're just inundated with styles, trends, how-tos, you know, men are just like, I've never heard this before, you know?
What would be the three benefits that a man could have if they worked with you?
Three benefits is number one, straight off the top, huge self-confidence booster.
Okay.
All of a sudden, they'll, like, they've turned into a completely different guy. Just have so much confidence now to go after what they really want.
Nice.
And then the other benefit is, sometimes they make a lifestyle switch as well. I mean, it can literally be life-changing for them in the sense that, and I'll give you an example. So one of the men in the workshop, one of my workshops, and he was one of the guys furiously taking notes. He was just a young guy. And he had recently gone through a really big challenge, sleeping on couches, financially destitute. And he finally got a good job, and he could see that in this job, he could work his way up to the top. It was a political with a party. He knew he was missing the mark, and he really wanted help with style. So I took him personally shopping. In this case, it was in person. Outfitted him, so he had several different looks, interchangeable, casual to corporate to everything in between, even a hot date, and transformed to all seasons as well. And the next time I saw him, he had been promoted within the organization, the political organization. So all of a sudden, he's with his mentality, with his clothing, his whole body language was speaking, you can trust me, really highly intelligent. I have skills and talents that you don't even know about that can really benefit you. And he did that instant trust because of the way that he dressed. So that's just one story.
One of many. And how do people get a hold of you, or can we put your information in the show notes so people can connect with you? And would they do so just sending you an email or picking up the phone or call?
Well, I think the best way is if you're really interested, I do like a 15-minute consult mm-hmm. where we in 15 minutes, I can see if I need is, you know, you just need travel ready outfits that fit in a small suitcase, then I can work with you on that level. Or if you want to, you know, really hold the frame with your style for that job promotion, career promotion, whatever, I can give you the link for my calendar and we can meet for a 15-minute chat.
That's great. I think you brought some pieces to share with us. Show us what you could do with on top of the basics that you have right now, because that's
kind of okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Yeah. So can you see that I'm just wearing this polo?
Yes.
It's a polo shirt. And I'm wearing this actually with a skirt. I don't know if you need me to stand up.
No.
Mm-mm. No. So depending on what you put with the bottom of this, the skirt in like this beautiful caramel leather, glazed leather. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So with everything that I have on, the earrings, you know, I can just pop on a hat when you're traveling. Let's say you're on the boat, you're about ready to, you know, at the boat and you're the riverboat cruise,
riverboat.
Right? So you can just
or the ferry.
Yeah. Or the ferry. Yes. Thank you. So this would be perfect. You're on the cruise and you're getting ready to disembark and you want to go to the fancy restaurant, but it's noon. So this is more sun's coming out. Like you want to protect your head from the sun. So that would be perfect, right? And then I have these earrings that kind of pull everything together. The blue with the caramel. And then the hat is also lovely. Wear this with little tennis shoes and you're good to go. So you could also add, if you wanted to, this piece as a necklace. So this, you know, put that right here as a necklace with the earrings. That's also great. Or take these off, add a pair of dark denim jeans or maybe a dark denim skirt or white skirt if you want. You still could. This is fun for more dinner. For instance, with the dark denim jeans, if we're doing dinner and you have feet that can support that, I would say go for like a kitten heel, nice, beautiful flat, like a pointy toe flat. And this would be so chic to wear anywhere in Europe for dinner. And you could also pair this with like a beautiful window pane blazer, you know, in, like in a navy with some white pinstripe blazer, a linen blazer with more like a lawn print, like on print, which was all the rage this summer. Do you know what I'm talking about? The bigger awning stripes on a linen blazer. Or you could do this with just a white blazer, dark denim, pointy toe flats, nice handbag, maybe in a glazed leather, mm-hmm. elegant. And why I'm addressing all these points is one of the best ways to look really luxurious in that quiet luxury type of manner. Doesn't have to be designer labels, but pay attention to things like balancing dull with shiny. That's the simplest way to describe it. So the sweater is more flat, right? The glazed leather is shiny, or dark denim is flat. Bring out and balance different textures, a grainy, coarse texture with a smooth or with a shiny. Do you know what I mean? Those are all the things that add interest to your outfit.
So does glazed leather, is that a different term for patent leather?
Okay, it's like a patent, but in a skirt, you can't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have patent leather purses and shoes.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite pair of shoes, I had a hard time letting them go, was a patent, red patent.
Fabulous.
Yeah, they were, if I still had, anyway, I just couldn't make my feet comfortable. So there are others out there, but okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So the shiny with the smooth. That's good information. Thank you, Annie. I hope you come back and tell us all about what a winter wardrobe would be, especially if you're traveling. I'm thinking I've seen recently the resurgence of real fur, and I'm not really gung-ho on that.
Okay, so I would love to come back and demonstrate that for the winter.
Okay.
I have a piece of faux fur that I got for a buck at a vintage sale. And it just looked like real fur. And I'd love to demonstrate how, especially in that quiet luxury type of way.
Okay. We'll come back and we'll do the winter wardrobe and travel.
Right.
So thank you so much. And
thank you, Sharon Ann.
Happy travels yourself.
Thanks. This has been such a pleasure. Always a pleasure to connect with you. And I love what you're up to. And you've been so inspiring to me, just how you've traveled all the way to Europe and stayed in the most beautiful places.
I did.
For free.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe. To learn more about Fast Start to Slow Travel, or send an email to Sharon Ann for more info and updates on the upcoming workshop.